Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's October 22nd, 2012, reading from Jeremiah 29:11.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
Reading now from Isaiah 58, beginning at verse 6.
Is this not the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I."
And here are we gathered in the studio. This is the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, and I have Huey and Kate Freeman in the studio with me. Huey, also known, dearly beloved by his wife Kate, as Howie. So if she mentions Howie, it's also Huey that I know as a good friend. Both have been supportive of this radio ministry, have been to Israel with us, have journeyed along with us for many years, and we just appreciate their friendship. And yesterday, we got to worship together at New Beginnings Christian Fellowship. And wow, there was like a revival breaking out there at the beginning after a lengthy time of worship. They had a number of their prayer leaders go forward and open it up to a time of prayer. And I think that went on for about 15 or 20 minutes. And then we had that delightful message by Doug Carmel, who we interviewed on Friday. So if you missed that broadcast, it's archived at greatnewsradio.org. And look for the name Doug Carmel. And he was the guest speaker. But he spoke yesterday, and it was just a great worshipful time, and it was great to connect again with you, Huey and Kate, and share some stories. And we had a great lunch at the Mexican restaurant, said hi to Nellie, she's a believer, and talked about having you be a part of the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. So thanks for being here. And we've walked out to the tree fort. You've gotten to see Beamer, who's kind of like a relative of yours, right? A relative
Absolutely.
Of your dog. So thanks for coming to the studio. And I asked you prior to us doing this morning edition, what were some favorite verses? But before you talk about the Jeremiah verse and the Isaiah verse, and I've kind of entitled our program, Trust, Prayer in a Cabin, and Testimony, what's the Lord been teaching you lately, Huey?
I think that the main theme that has been in my life lately has been in really trusting on the Lord and focusing on trust in the Lord. We have 4 children from 30 years old down to 16 years old. It seems like there's always challenges with young people that makes us pray a lot. Also, I have a 96-year-old mother that I'm spending a lot of weekends with. God has shown me repeatedly, especially through the Psalms, that it's a repeated theme for David, how he would write that trust in the Lord was an important focus of his life. So I feel like I have to trust God, that God is going to take hold of every situation involving myself and Katie and my family, and to put all my cares upon him and trust that he's going to take care of everything.
Now, on that theme of trust, you trusted the Lord to bring along a helpmeet, your forever bride, I think of about 33 years. And why don't you introduce Kate to our radio listening family?
Well, Kate has been a wonderful and faithful wife to me for more than 33 years. We celebrated our 25th anniversary by going to Israel. That was a gift to go to Israel on that trip. Our story together started almost 36 years ago. We met at a theater party in Eugene, Oregon, which was a party of hers, which I crashed because someone told me there was this party going on. I didn't know anybody there. It's very mysterious to this day how I even heard about it. But
now, were you a believer at the time?
I was not exactly a believer. I was coming to faith in God, and I was 2 months away from becoming a believer. I was starting to believe in Jesus Christ, but I had not been baptized yet. I had not totally committed myself to the Lord. And I'll let Katie tell you about her faith journey, because she had recently committed her life to the Lord. So when we met at the party, it was an amazing thing. We really had eyes for each other in a very special way. It was a secular party. It was a theater party. She could tell you more about it. But I did see this very beautiful young woman across the way.
And Husbandry 101's kicking in. That's good. Beautiful. Took your breath away. Charming from a distance. You were drawn to her. She's a great mom, wife. You already said committed. Follower of Jesus. Good, good.
And also, she was able to, you know, put up with me from the very beginning, which was actually unbelievable, because I was a vagabond who had just really wandered up to Oregon. I had been attending school in the San Francisco area, and I know for sure that God really drew me up to Oregon. But
and I'm going to jump in right here just for a second, because I got to work on our archive programs page, because all of this year's programs are archived, but the programs from like 1994 up, and I have hundreds of programs, I have to work with our new server and anyways put them into the new server, so they're not accessible at this point. But you were the first and only for many years where when you shared your testimony a long time ago, we kept you on for three straight days. Up until that point, we had never had anyone more than one or two times, but you had 3 days in a row. I think we've since had one or two people only in these 17 years of broadcasting, but your personal faith journey was so interesting out of the Jesus movement. And you grew up Jewish, thoroughly Jewish, bar mitzvahed, and grew up in a Jewish family, and how God got a hold of your heart. So I'm going to have to work on that in the coming weeks so I can tell our people, go to our archive programs page and hear that whole lengthy testimony. So 36 or so years ago, God introduced you to Kate. Did you fall in love with her at first sight?
Well, we very much fell in love with each other. I definitely fell in love with her. I mean, there was a connection from that first night being at the party together, and that the beauty of it was that we were attracted to each other, but then when we went outside, we were talking immediately about spiritual things, that we both were very much involved with our fairly new spiritual journeys. But I really want to thank you for the reminder. Here, I've had 3 days already, so I really want to turn over the mic to Katie to give her as much time as she can have.
So, Katie, it sounds like prior to meeting Huey, you had already began your faith journey, but maybe even take us back before that. Who was fundamental or foundational in introducing you to Jesus, or that concept of needing a Savior, or that there was sin in your life and that needed to be dealt with? Because sin before a holy God, you can't have a relationship, because a holy God can't tolerate sin. So who helped navigate you to that point of decision?
I believe that there was a lot of prayer going on long before I was born by my grandmother, because she was a believer and read her Bible every day on my dad's side. But when I was a young child, my mom took us to Episcopal Church. So I was brought up in the Episcopal Church because she thought that would be the same everywhere we went, because my dad was in the Navy and I moved every 2.5-3 years. So I didn't have any kind of one place to be. And that really does define who you are. You don't know from one place to another if you're going to be accepted. You learn how to be accepted everywhere you go. And so I was pretty much a chameleon everywhere I went. I would fit in and to where I was. And I did get somewhat into some negative things as a teenager, which a lot of teens do. But when I was in my 20s, when I turned 20, God started speaking to me in dreams. And I had this recurring dream that I was going from place to place, and I was with another person, and we were ministering to people after like global destruction. And we were going from campfire to campfire, telling people about Jesus. And so this was such a foreign concept to me, because in the Episcopal faith, it's not that it's not evangelical in any way, but it isn't the focus. Mm-hmm. So I started having these different spiritual thoughts. I had different people come up to me. At one point, someone shared the Book of Mormon with me, and that was the first time I heard God's voice, was he said to me, I want you to close this book and never open it again. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't an audible voice, but I knew it was God, and I knew to obey it. So I put that book away, and I never opened it again. And then we moved to Oregon. And my dad got transferred, and I was at the University of Indiana University in Bloomington at the time. I was a theater major, and I just felt like God wanted me to move with them. It would take me away from my boyfriend, my old life, and I would start new. So I was on the way to Oregon, and we were staying on the base. There's different places where you can stay as an officer's entourage, which is what we were basically. And we were, because we had two cars, and we were going with my brothers and my mom and dad. And I got in this hotel room. It was like $5 a night for each of us, and so we each got our own room. So it was great to get away from everybody and to be in my own room that night. And I turned on the radio. And Howie always jokes about this because it was Garner Ted Armstrong, which I don't know.
Way back,
the Plain Truth he used to do. And he started speaking on this radio program, and he started telling everybody about how there's all these rocks out there, as far as we know, in outer space that do not support life, and that our planet is just the right distance from the sun to not burn up and to not freeze, and that God created us, and if we wanted to believe it, he got to this point where he brought it to the Bible, and he said, You've got to swallow the whole thing. You can't just pick and choose what you're going to believe. You can't just say, well, Adam and Eve, they ran around, you know, and they had these fig leaves, and you're going to take that part, but you're not going to believe that there's sin, and you're not going to believe that there's a Savior. And all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Spirit in the room, and there was a cloud in the room. And I got on my knees, and he took me through the sinner's prayer, and I asked Jesus Christ in my heart, and I've never looked back. Mm-hmm. The next day, I got in the car with my mom, and we're driving. I said, Mom, did you know there's evidence of the flood right here in Salt Lake City? And she said, she looked at me, and it was like I knew right then I had changed fundamentally. Mm. I was a new creature in Christ. And so we went up to Oregon, and I had been born in Eugene, Oregon, but I hadn't lived there since I was 6 months old. I felt like I had come home. Mm. And I think it was the second day I was there.
And having this experience is kind of a neat tie to your being born physically there, too.
Exactly.
Now, this terminology that you're using, like the Holy Spirit or this cloud in the room, did you have that in your mind at that point or later on, referring back, knowing about how when people ask Jesus into their life, the Holy Spirit comes into their heart?
I don't think I knew what it was. I just knew a presence.
Yeah, God was working.
Exactly. It just felt a presence in the room. It wasn't just me there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the charisma from the radio guy or something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It was definitely a presence of something different that I've ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to Eugene, I went looking for a job like the next day. I was walking around on the square and there was a temporary agency, and I've always been a pretty fast typist.
And you're like 20 years old at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I was going to go, of course, back to school. I was a junior level at that point in college. But in between, I wanted to make sure I had work, and that was like in June. And, you know, I met Huey in September, right?
December.
Okay, December. So anyway, I went to this place right by where this temporary agency is, and a man from the group Shiloh, which was very popular on the West Coast, and they were like considered Jesus freaks, basically, because they went out on the square, and they would tell people about Jesus, and they'd bring tracts, and they would always try to invite people into their fellowship. They
this
always
is back
had
in
big
the 70s, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so this guy came up to me and goes, do you know Jesus? And it was like, I'd only known Jesus like 3 days. And I said, I'm beginning to. And he said, well, do you want to pray right here and now and just make it a public thing? And I said, sure. So we prayed right there at this beautiful fountain downtown Eugene, Oregon.
So you went searching for a job application and got your heavenly application.
Yeah. There you go. So I went to their fellowship, and that's where I started meeting other believers and really starting to live the Christian life as far as reading the Bible. They gave me a Bible, and because I think we had one at home somewhere, but it was probably in a box at that point. Yeah, it was really the beginning. And then meeting Howie, or Huey, however you want to be called, was a big turning point in my life, because Howie took Christianity from just the ritual and that aspect and took it to the heart, where you trust and you obey God. You don't just, we'll just go to church on Sunday and we'll just make this a game. No, this is something really, really important.
Something to live out daily.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he had this faith, like this rock hard faith, and has proven that throughout our marriage. I'll give you an example of one thing he did. I had a friend who was speaking up at church. She wasn't my friend yet at that point, but she was a speaker up at the church. And she had this wonderful testimony about talking to a professor on campus and leading him to the Lord. And I just felt this impression from God that I should call her. And we'd been married for a while. We were living out in Ivesdale at the time. And I told Howie, I really think I should, the Lord wants me to call her. And he goes, well, there's the phone. what's the discussion? And that's the kind of faith Howie has. And then, of course, I did call and we became very close friends. That's the kind of faith Howie has, mm-hmm. is that you don't hesitate. You just go forward.
Was there any conflict? You're a newfound believer, a follower of Jesus, and he's in those infant beginning stages of following Jesus, but he's Jewish. Was there anything like, he's Jewish with your family or anything, or was that
a
non-issue?
After we became serious, because it took a while before we realized that this was leading to marriage, we used to date by going to different churches.
Hmm.
And the first time he picked me up, I don't know if you want me to tell you this, but the first time he picked me up, he said, hey, look, you want to stop at this garage sale? Because I think they have some bookshelves that I might want for my place, So we stop at this place. And they had cement blocks and boards, which I carried on our first date out to the van. So I don't know if that was...
I think that carried over to that canoe incident you shared when we were down there in the river, too.
It was like, hey, you're going to get strong,
Yeah.
So that was a really good, it was a good start. But when Huey first asked me to marry him, I was a little bit in shock because I wasn't... Howie didn't have any visible means of support at that time. And so I was like, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. So I went to our pastor. At that time, we were having a singles ministry in this little church in Lowell, Oregon. And this was like a year and a half after we'd met. And so I went to the pastor and I said, I just don't know what to do, because he's asking me to marry him. My parents are like, he doesn't have anything. Where are you going to live? What are you going to do? And I had a little savings, but I knew it wouldn't take us too far. So the pastor said, some people have the faith to live in a tent, because at the time Howie was living in a tent. And some people have the faith to live in a two-story brick home. And he just pulled that out of the hat, And behind him, he was sitting in front of a window, was this most beautiful sunset. And it was just like God was saying to me, it's going to be okay.
Mm.
You have the faith to do this. And so then once that was decided, I could stand up my parents. My parents definitely felt that I would not be accepted on his side. He felt that they were really concerned about my being accepted in the Jewish family, which was not a problem because Howie's mother is just the most incredible person. She's just, as soon as I walked in, when we got engaged and I went to her home, it was... Hello. Oh, look at you. Aren't you good? Are you being good to her? Are you being nice to her?
Good Jewish
look,
mom.
Look, she came all this way for you and, just accepted us completely, had an engagement party right on the spot, even though he hadn't even told her ahead of time.
We're still working on that husbandry 101 with Huey.
He's really awesome.
Hey, knowing that we only have 2 minutes left,
uh-huh.
I want to kind of turn us back to the opening verses that we started with, that Jeremiah 29:11 and the Isaiah 58:6. I don't know if we'll be able to say much, but I wanted to quickly highlight, you had some unique times of prayer in the cabin. Tell us a little about that, because I think that's why that verse was real significant.
After we first got married, you have to understand, I was working half-time as a civil servant. I was in plays at night, and I was going to school full-time as a student. And so I had the busiest life imaginable for a young person, I think. And then all of a sudden, we were in this cabin on this river, and Howie was calling us to prayer three times a day. But that time was a time when we cemented our marriage. Neither one of us worked for a year. And we traveled, and we stayed in the cabin, and we prayed. And we prayed all day, and then we'd just go and have something to eat, or go out and take a walk, or go gather wood. And we got to know each other really well, and we got to know God really well. We did little Bible studies together, and we'd meet people that would be hitchhiking. Like, we met the guy that walked across America. What was his name? Peter Jenkins. And he was walking right down our road, which is on the Mackenzie River there in Oregon. Howie says, "Guess who I met?" You know, he comes in and he brings this guy in, and we have banana bread, I think I had just made. We had that together and fellowship together. It was a beautiful time. These were times when, yes, I found it was totally a new life, where I just taken, you know, God just took me out of there to help us cement what we would later, you know, be growing together. And now I do live in that two-story brick house. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So God does have a sense of humor, and he's faithful. You can trust him.
Amen. Well, it's been great getting to know you guys over the years. You live in Monticello on the mighty Sangamon River. We've been talking about maybe kayaking or canoeing down from here to your guys' house and having our dogs meet, because they're kind of like cousins. Or
they're sister and brother.
Sister and brother. Oh, yeah.
They're in the same litter.
So, and I know how God has called both of you in various ministry works and working together and reaching out to the poor and the hurting and building your family up and just other ways that you're serving. And yeah, right now you're a reporter with the Decatur Herald and Review, and I've known you've done a number of stories on us, our station, our ministry work in Israel, and so many things. And Kate, you work at the University of Illinois. What capacity?
I'm an office manager at the University of Illinois. I assist the heads of French and German.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, anyways, we appreciate you coming in for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends and being available. And our time is running out. SRN News won't wait. So thanks, guys, for being a part of this morning's program.
Thank you. It's been a great time to be here with you.
Well, thanks.
A pleasure.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.